To the cloud.
No.
Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
Hello and welcome to episode 153 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. One of the biggest webcomic podcasts online right now and has been ever since 2007. Actually, one of the biggest, longest running, continually updating podcasts on webcomic and digital comic creation. And yes, we update weekly and with new programming such as bi-monthly newscasts and an occasional trope cast for now. Plus the core programming, we are updating at least 4 to 5, possibly 6 times a month. We'll see. I'm Fess of TooManyThingsToList.com, and with me of Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com.
Well, hello there.
Tanya Higgins of DaisiesAndShit.com.
Hello.
And we also have Ben Carver from, I forget what the URL is.
MajesticKnightComic.com, HeroAcademyComic.com, and BenComicGraphics.com.
Alrighty. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And of course, we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at RampageNetwork.com. And let's see here. Well, it's actually been a while since we've had a core program. We had a day off after Christmas. Were we here last week? Was anybody here last week? I forget what happened last week.
No, last week was Christmas, wasn't it?
Last week was yes. Okay.
And then the week before that, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And then the week before that, I don't think I was there.
Yeah.
I slept through the podcast.
You son of a bitch. Okay. And of course, next week you won't be here because we'll have a newscast next week. And I think the newscasts are going pretty well. I do have to mention, you know, Eric of, or aka Dromos of Exern.com, E-X-I-E-R-N .com. And who does a lot of news gathering for that, so we appreciate that. And of course, Ross Scott of The System at systemcomic.com is the host of the newscasts. And of course, we also have Adam Smithy of Apple Valley and The Apple of Discord. Is it The Apple? TheAppleOfDiscord.com, who's the host of the Tropecasts. And of course, Alex Heberling of alexsguide.net is a co-host on both of those. And Jules Rivera, we just added to the trope casts of, I think it's going to be ValkyrieSquadron.com. I'm just going through the whole list here in case...
I was
going
to say, this show's over now.
Well, it's been a while, and I wanted to make sure that everybody listens to the core programming, knows about all the new programming as well, and so that's pretty much it. But of course, if you stay tuned to webcomicbeacon.com, you should know this already, and you should be well informed.
And so there.
Yeah.
Hell.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I.
Joe! Pork chop sandwiches! No.
Pork chops and episodes.
Look it up on YouTube. Anyway, this week we're going to be talking about update schedules. And of course, there's a few things that go along with that.
And a little star.
And a little asterisk. Update schedules is particularly pertaining to webcomics. There are a few ways that people tend to... Let me just go over the basics of what a lot of webcomics tend to do. I think early on, a lot of comics started updating the 5 times a week, mostly to mimic the newspaper sort of update schedule, because a lot of the early comics were... early webcomics were strip-style, newspaper-style webcomics, or comics. And so a lot of times, they would update 5 times a week. And very rarely... you'll see some that will update actually all 7 times a week. And I know out there used to do that for sure. They might be only 6 right now. I'm not sure. So you got those really hardcore people out there that can punch out something every single day. A lot of times it's going to be a strip versus, you know, like a full page. Let's see here. And then, of course, the next common one is your 3 times a week, which is typically a Monday, Wednesday, Friday update schedule. And this is this will vary between a full page or a strip or even single panel comics. The next popular one is essentially 2 times a week, which tends to be a Tuesday, Thursday, just because. To take up the other days of the week, I suppose. And then, of course, there are weekly updates, which, honestly, at least the ones I've been following, a lot are seeming to only be able to update once a week these days, and I think that's typically at the beginning or the end of the week on average. And then, very rarely, you'll get those sporadic ones, or once a month, and we can go all into that all later. But, before I keep prattling on, does anybody have anything to start with that they want to go into?
May I?
Oh, please, Ben.
Well, I think that, first of all, anyone who starts updating a webcomic should, in good faith, you know, pick a schedule and do their best to keep with it, regardless of how many days a week it is. If they set something, they should at least try that. And do their damnedest to try that. That's what I think.
Well, I think they should do that before they even release it. As in,
like giga buffer?
Yeah, basically making a buffer.
Well, I can certainly agree with. If you say you're going to do something, go ahead and do it. You're kind of being a douche if you don't.
Yeah.
And I know I've been guilty of that in the past, mm-hmm. and so now I just don't make any promises. I'm like, screw it, I guess.
And another thing is, you know, this is something that Fez and I actually talked about a couple months ago, was we noticed that that 2 days a weekers do Tuesday and Friday.
Tuesday and Friday?
Yeah. Hmm. We discussed this.
Well, and Tree Lobster does Monday, Thursday.
And some do just Wednesday.
It can vary, but I was speaking on on average as far as the idea.
Yeah.
Personally, I think Monday is a bigger day for... When do you think, what do you think the biggest webcomic update day is? I always thought it was Monday.
Usually get a spike actually on Friday night and Saturday. Those were my spikes because my comic's not safe for work. If you have a work-safe comic, then it's Monday morning.
Well, if we go with standard web browsing practices of most people, when they're most comfortable to start reading things, you know, I know it's an unrelated industry, but it's actually one that I actually do know a bit about, email marketing. Email marketing considers the best read day is Tuesday.
Oh, because Monday you're what? Catching up and actually being busy?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I always, before we went to just not safe for work, Mondays were my spike. And then as soon as language and things got a bit harsher, then it moved to Saturday.
I see.
Yeah.
Wednesday is an update day. I don't know. I think having your update on hump day kind of sounds a little strange.
Depends on the comic, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh yeah, that it updated. You know, you kind of don't think about that. I mean, I organize my webcomic bookmarks into basically how often they update, and I got Monday, Wednesday, Friday, which I really just mean 3 times a week, 2 times a week, weekly, and then the... ones I'll check whenever. Zebra Girl, for one, is one that I still read, and it updates sporadically, but it still updates. So need to reorganize a lot of them, because a lot of them have gotten a little bit more infrequent or less a week. So I'll have to increase my weekly bookmarks, I guess.
Let me take a look here. I'm looking at the comics I actually read, and Girl Genius updates Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
And has for ages. Yeah, he's...
And those are full pages, too. Of course, I think he has a team. There's a particular colorist.
It's just him and the colorist. You know, two people work together, but, you know, when you say team, I imagine, like, five people and the maintenance staff. And
crew.
Well, a group. No. Yeah,
it's a pit crew,
it's still a team.
Also, But they're both professionals. So, you know, what a professional can produce in a day's work is different than what an amateur can produce in a day's work. Well, depending on, I guess, the level of their art.
Must be nice to have all day to work on a drawing a comic. Mm. Well, I can only imagine what that must be like.
Girl Genius is also a webcomic secondarily. It's a print comic first and foremost. And
yeah, though, isn't the webcomic basically archives of the print?
Yes.
So they're kind of already done.
Well, it actually moved. It moved from print. It moved from print to web. So it's.
So they have a you know, an amazing buffer because it's already been done.
Yeah.
That's the way to go, right there.
Let's see here. When I first started my comic, I was doing what was equivalent to a page three times a week, and I'm really sad that I'm only doing two strips a week right now. I feel really, really bad about that, but that's all the time I got to do. But I'm updating, and that's one thing. I personally think if you realize that you just can't, you know, continue your three times a week update for whatever reason, especially if you are doing it, I guess, more so as a hobby, I still say drop your frequency. Still update at least once a week. If you really want to maintain, you know, your readership, you know, explain that, you know, I just can't do this. If you can at least get one comic a week, I say that will help a lot.
I agree. Oh. Well, there's also other people like us. There's one or two comics I've seen that do surge updates, which is an interesting idea if only they could, like, schedule the surges versus just having surges whenever, like, five pages in a surge or 10 pages in a surge.
Positive used to do surge updates.
Oh, boy.
I mean, for a number of years.
Ogloff sometimes does that.
Ogloff is hilarious, by the way. I like the one with with the guy who... With the guy who says, "Halt! I have the power of song."
Well, I think I'm not sure how often that updates, but it does sometimes update with more than one. And of course, that can be confusing. Of course, here's the double-edged sword. Almost sporadic updates can hurt your comic, unless one, it's really good, or two, it's had some clout before, and it had a following, and then it became sporadic, such as VG Cats or Zebra Girl. And Zebra Girl has it's great, but it's sporadic now. But it still has a following because it had an audience, because it was good. So if you're just starting out and you're sporadic, it's not likely going to work out unless you got a phenomenal comic.
It really depends on what you mean by work out. You know, I mean, we talk a lot about what people are...
Maintain a readership is what I meant. You know,
But if you're happy with a readership of, say, 1,000 people, you can completely do that with a sporadic comic. I did that with a sporadic comic. Anybody can do that with a sporadic comic. I'm convinced of it was kind of...
Well, yeah, but you had, like, boobies and stuff.
Yeah.
But I didn't. That's the thing. In the comics, I didn't. It's just that I happened to have them myself. I don't know. But okay. I really don't think the comic was that good. And I was able to maintain a readership of at least 1,000 people for, you know, until I stopped updating altogether.
That's crazy.
So,
I wonder what I'm doing
amazing.
Wrong.
Maybe you should hate your comic. Maybe that will improve it, because it seems like when people don't care about it, they get huge numbers. If people are so serious about it, they have crappy numbers.
Maybe. So we're going to have problems with daisies and shit, because I actually like it.
Maybe readers are drawn to an apathy field or something.
Then why isn't Mark's comic off the ground? It's because
he said apathy, and Mark's not apathetic. I wasn't really apathetic.
He is a pathetic.
I liked what I was doing, but I wasn't... I just wasn't happy with what I was producing. It wasn't what I originally intended. Mm-hmm. But people liked it, so I kept doing it. I don't know. And like I said, it was really sporadic. And I was able to maintain an audience. So I don't know that... I think there's always going to be that bizarre, who knows what motivates people factor. You know, the X factor Fess keeps talking about.
Right.
I do think it's unusual, but it's not impossible.
Triple X factor motivates some people.
You know that's now a valid domain prefix now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we heard about that.
Autumn Lake Triple X. I don't know. I don't think that would work. I think that would make people angry.
I can draw it up if you're interested, though, because that would be amusing as hell.
They would go to autumnlake.xxx and expect something that isn't going to be there. It'd probably disappoint them. It'd probably throw them off their game, if anything.
Tons of spam, though.
I could draw up. Is Autumn Lake muddy? Because that'd be easy.
I have a rather odd update schedule. I update Tuesday through Friday. And then on Sunday, usually, not this Sunday, but usually on Sunday.
You used to update, 5 days a week, I thought, or at least...
It doesn't start on Monday.
You used to update a lot more, I guess, reliably. until you started going to school. Yeah, I did notice that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's not like you've slogged off that much, though.
I did the past couple weeks here because I did those giant Christmas ones.
Well, yeah. To be fair, everyone drops off a little bit. I mean, I dropped off a little bit. I used to do 7 a week when I first started.
Yeah. But by and large, though, my schedule hasn't changed since I started. It's been Tuesday through Friday, and then the fifth one is on Sunday.
Mm. And you usually
and
do like this.
Because, yeah. That was because of my schedule at work. I worked that schedule Tuesday through Saturday. Mm. So that would, I think I had to update it at work or something like that. I can't remember now. But that's why it starts on Tuesday.
Well, it's really hard to get started drawing again. It's, I had a 1-year gap between my last comic that I was drawing and this current comic I'm drawing. And I did the same update schedule I did then. And, I actually lost a lot of my finer detail in my work. And it took someone else pointing that out for me to realize it, and I'm trying to regain that, and not to mention I just started a new job, so it's a little interesting, and I'm grateful for the buffer.
Yeah, it's killing me.
I don't have one of those.
Trying to get back to it. it's really hard trying to get back to it after you quit for a while, and that's something people should consider when they go on hiatus.
Right.
I went on an unintentional hiatus.
We'll talk more about hiatuses in the next section. Right now, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the buffer.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. And don't forget, we broadcast live on Sundays at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room, have news reports or Becky art, transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Questions? Dial our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922.
It's like a fluffer, but different.
Yeah.
Very different.
And he ate us. He ate us.
What about the anus?
He ate us.
The anus.
That's different, too.
Oh.
Yes. You don't believe what they eat on Bizarre Foods.
I don't want to know.
Oh, I do. I'd eat most of it.
Really?
Durian. Oh, yeah. I'm fine with it. Durian, I'm right there with him. The smell of it makes me... my daughter loves it.
Would you actually eat a roasted guinea pig?
You know what? I want to eat a guinea pig so bad it's not even funny. If I could get away to going to a fucking pet store and buying one of those damn rodents and clubbing it on the head and cooking it up, yes.
I'm sure you won't get arrested for it.
Welcome to the Webcomic Beacon, where we're gonna piss off PETA next. hey,
delicious.
Actually, if we do that, we probably would get a lot more traffic.
Probably, but
you know what? If
time.
I can walk up to a cow, shoot it, and eat it, I should be able to eat a damn guinea pig. It is technically illegal, however, to buy something from a pet store for foodstuffs, and I should
is
say
it?
That now.
Is
yes.
it
expensive?
Yes.
Okay, what you
in
do
the
is
state
you
of Colorado, you can't even buy live food for snakes.
Well, how do you know if they don't have like stuff injected in them? Like maybe they got something you shouldn't be eating in them.
What would they
they're
be?
Not like, they're not like,
it's totally
not like the guinea pigs they get overseas or something. I mean, maybe they got all these antibiotics and stuff that if you eat it, you die.
Pet pigs are not from overseas. They're from Peru.
Pet store animals. Pet store animals is not the subject of the show. We're talking about update schedules, as well as we are now going to talk about buffers, and something that we did mention at the beginning of the show was that, especially before you're starting your comic and putting it out online, you probably should. Well, okay, yes, you should have a buffer before you start. You should work on your comic before you start to get rid of those really bad, terrible jokes that you're not supposed to use, such as, we're going to make a comic about making a webcomic. And
I guess better start being funny.
Yeah, yeah. You can do those, but don't show anybody those in your main archive. Use those as practice. I would recommend, if you want to update 5 times a week, start your buffer by practicing making it 5 times a week. If you find out that no, you can't do that. If you can only update, if you only can make comics and have them ready at a rate of 3 times a week, go for that and make that your update schedule. Practice before you put your webcomic out on the web, because even when you first advertise your comic out there, you want at least 10 comics or something like that so that people can see if it's something that they want to keep track of. I followed ads before for comics that looked a little interesting, but there's only like, that was it. That was the first comic. It's like, I'm not going to continue. There's nothing here.
I will not vest my interest in you.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to hit bookmark for something like that. I'll wait for. I'll see, because that's where I find most of my web comics are watching those Project Wonderful ads. I figure, you know what? Maybe I'll check it out later when I see their ad again. It's not worth me. There's nothing here. I'm not going to add it to my regularly scheduled check my 120 web comics. You know. So, yeah, have a buffer. Make sure that there's some interest and people can decide if they want to read it or not.
I agree, except there is one little niche of comics where that won't work.
What?
Topical.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. I mean, you got your topical, you got your journal comics, and those are like a different class, which we probably should have a show about at some point.
Yeah, so maybe we should get Gabe and Tycho on, talk about their topical comic. I'm sure some people heard about it. I'm not sure if everyone did.
It's not likely we're ever going to get some them like that on the show. There's nothing new we can ask that they haven't been asked already. And yeah, likely not going to happen. But aside from that, let's exclude those for now as far as update schedule and save that discussion from when we do a show on that. So we'll be looking for some topical and some journal comics for a future episode and approach that. But typically, a lot of people are going to be doing a particular story that they have in mind, or, you know, the seat of their pants sort of writing, or gag a day sort of thing. And especially,
how big should a buffer be, you think? I personally think one month at least is the best one for a story comic.
If you have a gag a day, even if you have a gag a day, I will say you probably should have a buffer. And since it's a gag a day, I mean, you got stuff that can work. You got jokes that can work whenever, but you don't necessarily have to be married to a particular storyline or anything like that. So you can inject new ideas that you get at any point if you feel like you want to push those on. For a story, you're kind of limited. You can't always inject something, though you can. If you just, you know, if your muse tells you, oh, this would be good right here. And sometimes you can craft that. And if you have a buffer, it can be more possible to be able to inject something in where it would work better. If you have a little bit of time yet before the next update's supposed to go up.
It depends a lot on what you're doing and how you're doing it. If you're doing full-page comics and they take you 16 hours a day, you're going to want to have a bigger buffer than somebody who's doing strip comics that take, you know, an hour a day.
True. It also depends on if you actually have a script.
If you don't have a script, stop it.
If you
have a story comic and you don't know where you're going, a buffer won't save your ass. Just quit.
Well, okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
I have a severe issue with people who start stories not knowing where it's going. It's okay to have at least, if you have a general idea, mm-hmm. you don't have to script all the way through, but Christ.
You know, have bullet points, have an outline, something like that.
Yeah.
Some people do work better at, like, composing on the fly. They like that better. And I did that a lot when I... And I had a consistent update, and the only time I didn't is when I actually had to go on a hiatus. And I mostly composed what the hell they were going to be saying as I was doing it on the computer. I had an idea while I was drawing it, and I composed the actual dialogue when it came right down to me inputting the letters.
Okay, I will make a slight distinction. You have to be one of two kinds of writers if you're going to pull off that, you know, a long storyline. You either have to be somebody who knows where you are, where you're going, and where you're going to end up, or you need to be the kind of person like you, Fess, who knows everything about their characters.
Oh no,
so
no,
that
no!
Their actions are natural.
Actually, I got to correct you. That's not exactly how it was working out. My comic was designed as character driven, as in I didn't know where things were going. I had some ideas where I wanted to try to get them to, some points to cover, but it was entirely up to characters and character interactions depending on how they got there. So I didn't even know what was happening next until I started drawing it. Of course, that makes me a little bit more one of those crazy people. people should at least have a week, at least. But you should really strive for that 1 month, right? Or 1 month would be very, very good, and that can cover your ass in any emergency situation.
See, this is a problem I have. I don't have a buffer. I come home from work and make a comic, and it's posted the next day.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're sick?
If I'm sick or something, I miss an update or two. But generally, that's how it works. I come home from work and do a comic. If there's a power outage or something like that, or I get sick, well, kind of screwed.
Yeah.
See, but your comic is something where you could very easily have a buffer. I mean, it doesn't... You have topical ones, you know, the ones that are topical, you can do, you know, like you said, on the fly, and that wouldn't be an issue. But, I mean, you know, for the most part, you have like these little mini storylines, and those could very easily be done with a buffer. I'm kind of surprised.
I used to have a buffer of like maybe a week or a week and a half or 2 weeks, but...
It comes to a time constraint for you, Mark. And I'm sure for a lot of people, I'm not berating people for not having... we're saying a buffer and a regular update schedule is very important, especially if you're starting out. You're working really hard to try to build your audience. And hopefully, you know, if you really want to, you know, try to start making money on your comic, a consistent update is very important. Of course, there were a couple of exceptions, but those couple of exceptions are kind of working from the other way. You know, they were already popular. They already have an audience, or it's incredibly good. And, you know, like Ogloff basically was an instant hit when it first started. And I actually think that the artist and or writer, I'm not sure how many people actually work on it, they have experience already. They've been online. I think they just... hide who they are. I remember something awful about when Ogloff came out. I don't know how I'm properly supposed to say that title, by the way, but I think that it was known by a few people of who they actually were. But that's kind of a moot point since, you know, but that just,
you'll
that
never
just,
have them on the show.
I would love to have them on the show, actually.
who is it we're trying to get on the show?
Ogloff. The creators of Ogloff.
Mm.
You don't read that comic, Tanya?
I don't.
Oh, okay. Well,
I still actually can't look at the computer very long, so I'm still like recovering. So with all the computer work that I have to do, I get pretty behind on my comic reading.
Well, once you read it, yes, Tanya, this is a comic for you. Pretty sure.
I have read it in the past. I have seen it. It's not like I'm completely lost.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I just sent the link to one of my favorite strips.
All right. Let's see here. So if you can't have a buffer, you can't have a buffer. Some people are absolutely fine with working on the fly, and sometimes that's kind of the nature of the comic. If you can, I take this from my experience. It's like once I started writing down a script, actually doing a script, I found out how much easier that is. Even with my script that I had, I've injected at least maybe like 50% more strips into what I already had. You know, I can still work like that, and it worked out great. But it is so much easier if you can at least have a script and you can think ahead, and then you can know where those problems are before they happen. I am 13 updates ahead right now. Mostly because I've been wanting to have a really nice buffer when I got to I was going to practice watercoloring a few pages, and so I wanted to have that just in case. I also wanted to see if I could get my update schedule back to 3 times a week, so I've been slowly trying to build my buffer so that I can see if I can do that again, and it's been really great, it feels less pressure. There's less pressure when you have a buffer. They're just like, all right, okay, it's fine. I missed it, but I got it's not so much I have a completed buffer. I have comic sketches, because the hardest part for me, not necessarily the longest part, but the hardest part for me is getting that initial sketch going before you ink it, before I scan it and everything. You know, inking, scanning, coloring, you know, that takes a long time. But the hardest part is that sketch, and if I have at least that sketch, you know, I'm confident that, okay, I have that. I can easily put up this comic on time, et cetera, et cetera. That's
confused.
Me, though. Yes.
You realize the definition of sketch. I mean, like, that's supposed to be the quick, easy part. Why?
Even though I use a non-photo blue pencil, it ends up being a drawing. It ends up being a drawing, basically. but I don't use trace paper anymore. I do ink over the blue pencil. I can't do the skeleton. I can't do anything. I have to draw it first before I put the permanent pen down, you know.
Well, see, that's not a sketch.
Drawing, but you know, it's that stage. It's the pre-ink stage.
Pencil stage.
Okay. The pencil stage. There we go.
That's penciling. A sketch should take you, I mean, my sketch is longer because I actually do my panel out when I do the sketching. Because to know where things are gonna go,
right?
Tanya just came back from the wormhole.
Doing the panels takes a little while, and then doing blue pencil. Son of a bitch! Sorry,
that's okay.
Am I good now?
You're pretty good, and I pretty much got what you were trying to say.
There's one other update schedule I've seen recently in the last month that I thought was kind of interesting.
Hmm.
I'm going to call it the Rage Update Schedule.
The Rage Update Schedule?
It's Mark knows what I'm talking about. It's a troll whose name shall not be mentioned. Updated twice as much because he was mad at us.
Oh, was it? That was that guy we were talking about that I didn't know who we were talking about. And then I found out that he made an angry comic about the webcomic being, and it's like,
oh yeah!
What the hell happened?
What was that?
It's like, holy shit!
It wasn't
shit.
A very good angry comic.
I had no
comic.
Clue who that person was. I had no idea, and I'm like, we're famous.
He's some stoner dude who does this.
He made like 5 or 6 rage comics just about being pissed off at everybody else that runs a comic. It was awesome. It's like we doubled his update schedule just because he was pissed at us.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I had no idea about the argument that was happening. I had no idea who it was. I even said so. I have no idea. I'm not taking sides because I didn't see anything of it. And it's like, dude, it's like, whatever, you know.
Well, we're talking about one guy who's one porn video away from being Chris Chan, so not really worth mentioning.
Anyway, there's also another kind of update, which I will mention. I have seen this before, and I think it stems from people that have more of an experience in working with print comics, and that is the chapter update, where, like, this can go one of two ways. It can be like a lump update of, like,
a surge update, like we were talking about earlier.
A surge update, but, you know, they'll update
on a schedule
consistently for a while. Then they'll take a break in between chapters.
Yeah.
And that can be fine, except that not everyone's always going to know when you start updating again. So, you know, some people can utilize RSSs. I don't use RSSs, so it's just something that I'll check infrequently. But
okay, can I? Come on.
Go right ahead. Go
get
right
an
ahead.
RSS feed. Please,
I don't
people.
Like using them.
Okay, and I get that, and that's understandable. But like, I just went to Ogloff, and I thought, oh, this is funny. I should totally keep up with this. No RSS feeds. Mm. So guess what? I'm not going to end up keeping up with it because I don't do the bookmark thing. There's like no point in it because I don't want to keep track of when I'm supposed to go to a site. And well, with the RSS feed, I know when you've updated. I go true. And I read the comic. If true. You don't have an RSS feed, chances are good. No matter how good your shit is, I'm not going to end up reading it.
True.
And it takes 30 seconds
but,
to input an RSS feed.
But I will say that particularly for Ogloff, something with 300,000 page views a day, I don't think they're really going to care.
But, oh, and that's probably true. Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, and I completely understand that.
But having the option does help.
Yeah. Maybe they could have 400,000 if no, probably.
Maybe. You never know.
It's a personal pet peeve. It's, you know, I don't know many people that keep track of webcomics solely by RSS feed. Most use like a combination of RSS feed and bookmarks, but I use the RSS feed entirely and that makes me sad pants.
Sad
they don't have one. Because it's so simple. I can understand if it was like a huge, you know, feat of coding to put in an RSS feed, but it's not.
It's not.
30 seconds and, you know, you're good to go. So
yeah, there's actually another thing since we're on the subject. There's also, you know, ways that people keep track of your updates, which is totally relative to this conversation. Some people have Facebook fan pages and people can follow their comic on Facebook. That is another way to keep track of when your favorite comic updates. Twitter, if you don't follow that many people anyway, or you make a list specifically for your webcomic people, Twitter is a good way that you can find out when another update is. I know that I do sometimes, and I keep forgetting to bookmark some of these comics that they updated. Mostly because I'm on my phone, so I have to wait till I get home to remember to try to bookmark it. But at least it's a way that I am trying to keep track of comics that I like reading. And, you know, Twitter can work. Facebook can work. What are some other alternate ways that that people can, you know, have an option for readers to check out their comic?
Here's an idea. How about and this might sound silly, but actually have like a an online subscription, and then they just email a week's worth of comics and right in your inbox on Friday.
I don't know anybody who does that anymore, honestly.
Yeah, I used to know people that would do that. Not so much anymore, and I think it's just because it became such a hassle with the spam blockers and things, and different email accounts, and trying to get people to, you know, add the address to your contacts so that it won't trash this. And I think the email thing is kind of gone by the wayside. Mm-hmm. There are a couple now that I think have tried text updates. There are services where if you sign up for a service, you know, you don't actually have to give the artist your phone number. You sign up on a site and then it basically
just dial star comic.
Something like that, yeah. But, you know, I think it's dodgy. There's also, now for the phone, there's mobile applications. Like, I have the XKCD app on my phone so that I click it and XKCD is there.
True.
I would not do that.
I have a browser on my phone where I go to XKCD.com and I can, there it is.
I use the app because I don't have to bring up the browser, which actually does take longer to load.
True,
I still
get your phone.
But you can't have an app for every comic, though. That's the other thing.
Well, I could.
Well, this is actually this is actually something we brought up on the last newscast. Some print comics, some newspaper comics are getting to have a digital presence, which included basically, you know, there was one that was kind of like a group app that contained like the whole particular group under this publisher, and then there was a news article that talked about too many apps. You know, basically, in order for anything to be found, you have to have an app for every single individual comic. Otherwise, people aren't going to find it. Despite you could probably put it all into one, And it's a matter of searchable thing. So,
there are applications where you can apply to have your comic included in the app. You go through, and it's basically like having a bookmark. But it is one thing you can do. Or like with Chrome, you could have an app in like the Google Marketplace to read a comic that then that would be computer based. It wouldn't be on a phone.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know necessarily that it's super viable.
Right.
I read XKCD on my phone because, it's really readable. I have a Motorola backlit.
Let's not get into that.
The point is that most comics are difficult to read that way, so it may not be the best way to go for most people, but it is done.
Right, and I do want to mention a couple of things. If you have a WordPress site and you have a comic site, no, wait, that doesn't work. I'm thinking WordPress. What? Nope, never mind, that didn't work. I do want to mention that. For those, I don't know if it's an issue anymore, but it was an issue for a while where people would basically make their own comic apps, which they just strip the comic from people's RSS feeds. Don't do that. That's wrong. That's, especially if you're selling it, that's illegal. And I can understand if you'd like to do something like that, actually go and ask permission and see if you can get a lot of people on board and make it a free thing or work out something with a payment details with these people. Don't just up and make your own app that utilizes other people's work, other people's feeds and systems that strips out what they're being intended for, et cetera, et cetera. Don't do that. That's not helping. So there's that. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this and that. And hiatuses.
Yeah.
And yes, we will be back after the break. We may have missed an update here or there, but we will be back. No, yeah. Okay. All right.
That's funny.
Happy, happy new year. Happy, happy new year. Happy, happy new year. Happy, happy new year. Happy freaking new year. Happy New Year 2008. It's gonna be great.
Well, that was the Happy New Year song by John Caspi at musicalley.com by Mevio.
Hold on a second. really quickly, have you mentioned the PenguinCon logo art contest?
I have not, because I had no idea of it.
Okay, well, so then we should do that at news.
Okay, go ahead.
We're not doing news right now, are we?
Oh, no, we're not.
Well, so then, shouldn't we wait and do it with news?
We could probably.
Let's do that. And instead, we could talk about hiatuses, something I know a great deal about.
Do you know about hiatuses or just one hiati that went on forever?
That went on for a year and a half.
Okay, I think it's officially an indefinite. When does a hiatus become an indefinite? Anyway, so there's the hiatus. Let's introduce the hiatus. Well, first off, there's the missed update. And this is usually a spot where a lot of, as I guess especially early webcomicers will be like, I'm sorry, I'll owe that, or something like that. And honestly, that owe never usually gets paid back, and usually just keep missing and missing and missing, and then you just feel full under the weight of all those I owe this many updates. Don't do that. If you miss an update, you apologize, and then you don't let it happen again. And if you do, you change your update schedule. That's what I say. Or you finally say, okay, I can't keep up, I'm gonna go on hiatus for, and then give like a time period. Say it's 3 months or something like that, and then come back.
But only if you can honestly give a time period.
Honestly, yes. Admitting defeat is not a bad thing versus just kind of, what is it when you like, it's essentially, what is it when you're basically saying, oh, it'll be here, and it never shows
denial?
Up? Denial?
No, it's vaporware. It's basically, it's the webcomic version of vaporware. Yeah. You say it's coming.
It's just not a river in Egypt.
Denial. That would be what it is on a personal level. For the public, I consider it a form of vaporware.
Yeah.
Broken promises. He's ready to be a politician.
It's Duke Nukem. See, exactly.
But in actually,
forever.
It's coming out. Apparently, it was actually people could actually play a semifinal version of it at the last E3, I think.
Yeah.
Because somebody else actually owns it now because the other company is gone.
Vaporware until proven otherwise.
Vaporware until, I mean, StarCraft Ghost eventually came out. Didn't it?
Yeah, it waited until it was no longer relevant. Cool plan. shit happens, mm-hmm. and readers get that. Yep. If you're going to say, you know, again, if you're going on hiatus and you have a good reason, there are plenty of good reasons. You know, people's houses burn down, people die, things like that. Hey, yeah, if your readers are being dicks about that, you didn't want them anyway.
Yeah.
If you know when you're going to be able to come back, say so. If you don't know, don't say.
Yeah.
Like, say, I don't know. You know, the last major update I did, I said, well, I don't know. I'm really sick, and I don't know when this is going to fix, and you should probably watch Twitter. Should I ever update again? I'll let you know. you know, give them a way where they can, you know, be notified mm-hmm. if and when you come back. But do try to be honest, because I was pretty douchey about that early on, and I feel bad about that.
I would like to know if there was like a way that you can easily just, especially with WordPress, have a plugin for email notification for when we come back, sort of thing. And because sometimes I would personally like that if there was a comic that I really liked reading, and it's like, you know, there are comics, you know, from two computer crashes ago. Or whatever, computer incidences, we'll say, ago, where I lost basically all my bookmarks. There are comics I have yet to re-find that I used to read a lot, because I read so many, I didn't even pay attention to the particular name or website.
That's weird. If you'd been using RSS feeds, that wouldn't have been an issue.
I don't read RSS feeds.
Well, his computer's crashed. He lost control of it and ran right into the light.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
the way they fishtail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I think they have a newsletter app for WordPress that would work for email notification. Certainly the RSS feed automatically works for notification. And, you know, just let people know, hey, watch my Facebook, Twitter, whatever else. And I'll be sure to let you know if I'm able to come back. But yeah, I think honesty is a little more. Be honest with yourself. First.
How many comics came back stronger than ever after a hiatus? Can you think of?
I can't remember.
I can't think of anybody.
If they've been updating a lot, I haven't noticed or remembered that they were on hiatus. For me, for PSI, I actually have come back pretty strongly after I actually started updating again. And the only reasons why I've had hiatuses were for particular major events. I think the first or the second time was basically I just got overwhelmed with everything that I was doing, and all the other ones I think were legitimate reasons for. But I we didn't bring this up earlier, but I found personally one of the best ways to try to, you know, get your blood going again for doing your comic again was just doing some fan art, doing some guest art. Every single time that I came back from a hiatus, and I think the last two were only like a few months each, I basically went on Twitter. I said, all right, who wants their character drawn or whatever? And then that just, it gives you a kind of a non-committal, low expectation of just, you know, I'm just doing sketches. So you just go in and you just start drawing stuff. And then for me personally, I was like, hey, you know what? I think I have an idea with this character. And sometimes I made guest strips, or I made a funny scene or something like that. You know, then it's just a matter of charging your batteries with something that's not what you were particularly racking your brain over. That helped great for me to get back in. And every time that I've come back, I've came back fairly strong. I had my updates. I maintained the update schedule, maybe missed a day once, but I updated the next day.
Well, and I also have to ask what you mean by come back strong. Do you mean that the artist
stronger than the creator? Photon torpedoes away?
Or do you mean that
she's in the wormhole?
Tanya, I think I know what's happening. Wow. It's like that 5 seconds was stretched into, like, you know, 20 seconds. Tanya, I think you know what your problem is. You live in the fucking mountains.
She lives in a wormhole.
Oh, wait, we lost her again. Tanya lives in the mountains, so there's like this, there's less air up there, and the...
Rocky Mountain High!
Okay, you think you know what my problem is?
Yeah, you're in the mountains. You're in the fucking mountains. That's the problem. The air is so thin up there.
I'm not in the mountains. I'm in a valley. I'm not in the mountains.
Hey,
she's surrounded by mountains.
You came down to the Midwest, and you're complaining about how much air there is down here.
Well, okay. Yes. We are a mile high. Yes, I will give you that. We are a mile high. But the mountains west of us are actually higher than that. So
I'm think
not
the signal would be better if the air was thinner.
That's the other thing. You're in a valley. There, you're in a valley. That's my other...
I think it's the...
Uncanny Valley.
I love it how when she's explaining what I think. I think it's... Tanya, I love you so much.
every time she does this, you should call it the Uncanny Valley. Lost Tanya in the Uncanny Valley.
Okay, so Tanya was... I'm sorry, Tanya. Tanya was asking, what do you mean by a strong comeback? I think she was asking whether or not it means that the overall product is better than it was before. I was actually referring to, you know, keeping your updates consistent, and also I will say that my comic, you know, I was drawing my comic better, I was writing my comic better, I had some time to think and refresh. For me personally, I felt that I've steadily been increasing my quality overall. Whether or not where that quality is compared to others is, well, you can make that decision yourself, but compared to my comic itself, I feel I have been getting better each time, even with the hiatuses. I don't think I've had any... I haven't had any slipbacks, except I should probably read what I already did to make sure I don't bring it up again, because I've done that two different times after hiatuses. I was like, I'm going into this, and I look back at my comics, wait a minute, I already said that. Damn it.
See, people who write out scripts, you know, and plot lines in advance don't have that problem.
True. Just, oh, but here, you know. Here's this one problem. Here, okay, you know, I had got done with my script, but I still had stuff to draw, and I knew what I wanted to draw, so I have four pencils done right now. I forgot what the fuck they were about.
Now, there's a difference, though, between plotting things out and having pencils drawn. Like, okay,
Randy
Mulholland, yeah, though I'm sure everyone's tired of the geek fest that I have for the man, had, like, 5 years planned out generally. Like, I know what's going to happen in the next 5 years. And with little bullet points along those 5 years, that's right. What I mean by planning things out. I don't mean writing every script for the next 5 years.
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying that I had a script. I got to the end of the script, end of the scene, and then I started doing stuff that was supposed to be in between this and another point. I do need to script again, but I had this idea, and I was just going to pencil it out, and I thought that, okay, I'll remember what this is, because that's what it used to do. I forgot. I knew pretty much what's happening in these four strips. Pretty much did know what was going to happen, because it's... But I forgot specifically what they were going to say, and I knew what they were going to do. So I have all these actions, like, okay, I know what's pretty much going on. Now I got to craft new dialogue to fit what I drew, and
see,
hopefully
most people
it covers
start
everything.
With the words.
True.
Because then, you know, when I'm looking at the words, I know what's happening. When you're looking at pictograms, it's like an advanced game of memory Pictionary. I don't want to play that.
But I had the idea.
Down. Use your words, fast.
I didn't. I was at work. I had paper and I had pencils. That's all I had.
You can also write notes.
That takes too long.
On paper with pencils.
The idea was visual. I had certain actions. I had certain positions. That's just how I work.
Write a couple lines underneath, like, this is what's happening.
Yeah, I should do that. The problem is that I had a buffer, and it took me a while to get to that point, so now that I'm at that point, I totally forgot what I was supposed to be doing. But yes, I probably should put notes in the sidebars and everything like that. But yeah.
Well, okay, now this is actually another good point. I know a lot of people who, when, you know, they update very regularly, and they have the scripts planned out, and this, that, and the other, but they won't post the same day that they've finished the comic. They give it 24 hours because often in that 24 hours from the time you wrote it till the time you post it, you come up with a better punchline or a better way something could be worded. Mm. And I think oftentimes your writing is a lot tighter and just better overall if you can step away from it for a second and then come back. So maybe you're doing yourself a favor by having to rewrite everything because time has gone by.
Maybe. It was a lot of important information though, or it was a little bit of world setting as well. But basically it's this extra four strips that I had that I needed to get from A to B because I still had a script for B. And that was the watercolor part, so I was getting a head start with the watercolor part before I realized, oh, there's some stuff I need to put in here. So I got 9 pages of watercolor, so I'm really excited. So I'll have some time to get to scripting in that because I that really helps me out. Before we get to news and milestones and all that, I feel like there's some stuff that I've forgotten. Mark, Ben, have we missed anything?
Not really. No,
I don't think so.
That covers most of it.
Cool. Well, we finally have a show on update schedules. Speaking of update schedules, the Webcomic Beacon broadcasts and has a program available weekly for your pleasure. Every
Schedule
Sunday, basically.
For pleasure.
Yep. Well, basically, Sundays at noon Eastern Standard Time is when we have a podcast going live, especially now that on the second Sunday we have the newscast and also the tropecast. One is, I believe we have the newscast at 11 Eastern Standard Time and the tropecast is at noon. And on the fourth Sunday of the month, we do have another newscast that is before the core show, which will be at 11 Eastern Standard Time with the rain show at 12. We may have a tropecast popping up here and there. I'm not sure yet. We're not sure of a second tropecast schedule just yet. But we are planning to meld a tropecast and a core program together because the topic would need too much commentary. And I like to keep the tropecasts a lot more objective. But this one, well, we'll see if we'll have it this month or next month. But stay tuned to webcomicbeacon.com/calendar so you can get an idea of what's coming down the pike. Actually, I have some things written up on there and scheduled. Also, I think on the 23rd of this month, we're going to be having some of the girls from Filthy Figments on. So that'll be our adult webcomics episode for this year, I suppose.
Which ones?
Not yet determined because I'm not going to say just yet because some may come, some may go yet. It was between two different days and most I got more people said that the 23rd would work. So I'm hoping that'll stay together. Next week we have a newscast and we're going to have a tropecast talking about the continuity reboot. In February, on the 6th, we have, we're going to talk about Lovecraftian comics. I originally had it on the 13th, but then I thought, nope, Tanya would like to be in on that, I'm pretty sure. So
that's a good one, yeah.
So, you can check that out, and keep track. And, of course, if anybody would like to sponsor one of these episodes, you can go to webcomicbeacon.com/advertise to find out more information about, supporting your favorite webcomic podcast, the Webcomic Beacon. And just know that the tropecasts and the newscasts are 50% cheaper than the core programming. Details are on webcomicbeacon.com/advertise. And we're hoping that we can sell some of those sponsorships this year so that I can buy alcohol to have at the PenguinCon room party, which I'm hoping to have if we can get enough support for that. more details as they come. In other news, we do have a couple of milestones I want to go over real quick here. We have Girls in Space! Which, you didn't send an URL into the frickin' thing, but I'm gonna assume it's at girlsinspace.com.
We lost Tanya.
We lost Tanya again. So check our blog notes for that. It has hit 100 pages, so congratulations on that. Put the URL in your email next time, James Spence. Also, we have another one from Zoe. We have All Over the House at alloverthehouse.net has hit 2 years old. Congratulations on that. Another milestone, we have Samurai Princess at samuraiprincess.com, which has hit 100 pages. Congratulations on that. And Sarah Zero at, you didn't put the URL in your thing again. It's Sarah with an H, zero.com, has hit 600 pages, a.k.a. 300 spreads, boy. He says. So, because he does that really wide, huge website.
That magazine layout style. Yeah, it's awesome.
Good stuff.
So, 600 pages, though 300 spreads, so 300 updates, I guess. So, but it's still a whole number. It's a 100th number, so there you go. Let's see here. That's all we have for milestones. Anybody else have any milestones to report?
I'm still making comics.
And the crowd goes silent.
It's 2011.
Okay. Yeah, there's a milestone. We have completed another trip around the sun.
Hooray! Whatever. It's time to do your taxes, everybody.
Wow. That's scary.
Sorry, I don't believe in the new year.
Okay.
Maybe it doesn't believe in you.
No, the new year is just arbitrarily placed. A real new year would happen on a solstice or an equinox.
Uh-huh.
You know.
A solstice just passed.
Okay, it's not arbitrarily placed. It's not like they just stuck a thumb up their ass and picked a day.
Yeah, they picked the end of December. Ooh.
You're just a hippie fest, but the rest
celebrated
New Year's.
Wait. It's going to be 1/12. Hooray, 1/12 on Sunday, January 2nd. Hooray, let's party for no reason. You know,
you're kind of missing the point, is that we do use a Gregorian calendar, which reboots at the end of December. It's not like...
Yeah, and then they have a leap year every once in a while, and you add another...
Every 4 years.
Yeah,
because we can't be perfect.
I don't buy into the hype. I just, it's like...
The hype?
Woohoo, time to do your taxes. That's all the new year means to me.
Gregorian. Okay.
Gregorian. We use the Gregorian calendar.
Isn't that like a character from the Legend of Zelda series?
Isn't it like a chant?
It is a chant as well. It would be those monks. Those people.
Those bastards. Them and their damn calendar.
In any case, we do have a couple of bits of news that I want to go over anyway. I'm not sure if you guys want to go over it.
You should go over your news first, so that I have plenty of time to go back underwater.
Do I know? What? What do you want, Tanya?
What? Huh? What?
No, I said you should do your news first, so that I have plenty of time to go back underwater.
Sounds good. All right. There's a couple of bits of information that I mentioned on the last newscast that we have. By the way, you should check that out. The Webcomic Beacon's Becky Beacon is actually now online. Webcomic Beacon's own cover girl is now on Twitter. You can follow her at Becky Beacon. She will periodically tweet about her favorite webcomics or comics she finds promising enough to direct others to. If you'd like Becky to take a look at your comic and see if she'd tweet about it, send an email to beckybeacon@gmail.com. Becky's picks will be mentioned monthly on the Webcomic Beacon's core programming. So this is as close to a review segment you're going to get, is a tweet. It's a lot easier that way. So go ahead and check that out. And of course, she has been updating a couple of bits. So let me look at her Twitter. Let me see if I can get it. Let's see here. All right. Well, this is the first comic. A really cool comic I recently got into is Love Me Nice, which is an old school tunes in a real world with real issues. That's at lovemenicecomic.com. One of the best, mostly grayscale webcomics, a fantasy story of a girl surviving zombie apocalypse and those she meets at Dead Winter, deadwinter.cc. Looking through, here we go. Fantastic art in this grayscale comic, misadventures set in a world of old and magic, build suspense and danger. Stars a mute at omniachronicles.com.
It's an interesting ending. Promo. Stars a mute.
Because Becky's a mute, so she's like...
Well, and I get that, but I just thought it was an interesting, Like,
you got 140 characters. let's see here. I think that's all she's tweeted so far. Oh, she retweeted something that I almost forgot to mention. The Webcomic Beacon newscast. If anybody has a webcomic to print release, you know, you got a pre-order, you got an actual release, and it's available within, you know, 2 weeks of any, you know, since it updates twice a month. If you got something that's coming up, or you know within 2 weeks of a newscast, you know, send an email to webcomicbeacon.com, webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, and say that you have essentially a press release. And that is the show that we will be mentioning webcomic to print releases, since that is our decidedly topical and time relevant show. Since obviously the core programming can be very dated by the time. I don't like to date the core programming if we don't have to. I like it to be a lot more general and anytime. But so yeah, that's one bit of information I forgot to mention before. So we'll be looking out for that as well. That's webcomic to print things. I think that's all I got, Tanya. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to let everybody know that PenguinCon, the official con for the Webcomic Beacon, is currently running an art contest for their logo this year. Your submissions, the graphic has to be 648 by 828 pixels. They'll accept, you know, TIFF, PDF, SVG formats. The deadline is February 6th. Winner will be notified toward the end of February. And let's see here. You get, if you're chosen as the winner, you get a free badge to PenguinCon 2011. And you'll also have the ability to attend the Guest of Honor dinner. And your art will be all over all of their flyers and t-shirts and programs and all that good stuff.
Yeah, PenguinCon is in Troy, Michigan, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. I think it's at the same place as it was last time. I know that Melissa is coming.
Yay! So,
yay! She was deciding between that one or Ebert Fest, and she decided she doesn't have enough money for Ebert Fest, so.
I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, you have to submit them to limey@penguincon.com, and you can find all the information on the website.
All right. Also, Tanya, email me that information or the link so I can get it in the notes. Also, Jilly Foo of Demon Eater will be coming with us, since, you know, she lives here and she wants to go too. I really, really want to have that room party, so be sure to. Yes.
What I'll do, because I will be premiering Ninjil, my first print comic, at PenguinCon this year. Maybe we can, you know, join forces or something, and I can have my premiere party as well. So I might be able to throw some money your way.
it's something to consider, something to look at, and especially since, you know, we'll have Mark Savory, Tanya Higgins, me, I guess, Alex Heberling, and Adam Smithy, who are members of the Webcomic Beacon. You know, we're gonna have most of this. We're gonna have, not all of the staff this year, but most of the staff. I'm still gonna see if I can try to get Ross Scott to come up from Washington D.C. Don't know about that for sure yet. And since Jules Rivera is I guess now a member of the Webcomic Beacon, I don't know if she can make it out from California, but. But still, I'm surprised at how much I've added to the show and how much control I've given up. You know, a year ago, I was too anal to, like, add anything that I would have to, you know, split the responsibility with, split up the pie, you know, give up the control, but, you know.
Aw, don't worry, Fess. We all know you're still anal.
Well, I am still the producer of the Webcomic Beacon. I do technically have the final say on everything, but yeah, Ross Scott is the host and director of the newscast, and Adam Smithy is the host and director of the trope casts. So hopefully this will be a very, very exciting year. And I've just been gushing about how excited I am for this year for the Webcomic Beacon. And Ben, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. But it looks like Tanya has left us.
Yeah, I'm trying to get her back on so we can say goodbye.
But she says she's gone.
Well, yeah.
I think she doesn't want to be back.
I'm back.
She is back.
She's back. Hello.
Hi.
And there's one last thing I want to mention before we go. I do want to, this year, I definitely want to increase the listener participation. And this includes posting comments on the blog, participating in the live chat room, sending us emails, sending us voicemails, calling us at 1-320-310-0922 and leaving us a voicemail on our hotline. Something about asking the guests, asking the hosts, talking about a past episode, a future episode, something that we mentioned recently. I want to see more participation from our listeners. And as an incentive, each month, at least I will. Everyone, it's optional for every other member of the crew, because I'm not going to instill this on them. That I will basically say, hey, well, I'll do a sketch of one of your characters or something like that. You'll get a sketch of, at least, for participation. And we'll see how this goes, if this sketch incentive would be something. And of course, if anybody else on the Webcomic Beacon staff would like to, you know, pick somebody who's been actively participating or whatever and do, at minimal, a sketch. If something more, like a guest comic comes out of that, hey, bonus. But I'm going to try this out, and we'll see how it goes. Aside from that, I've been Fess of Fessworks.com.
This is Tanya of Don't Bother, It's Broken.
And this is Ben of HeroAcademyComic.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.
He may not even think he's a troll. He may have a mental issue or something.
Case of narcissism and dissociative disorder.
It's possible. I mean, or he's stoned. I mean, I guess he's into that.